Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
When addiction takes control, getting help can change everything. Parkwood Behavioral Health System offers compassionate, evidence-based addiction treatment for adults right here in Mississippi. Take the first step today. Visit parkwoodbhs.com. Healing starts here. With limited exceptions, physicians are not employees or agents of this facility.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this. It's actually Thursday morning here to this edition of the Rebel Report podcast. Obviously not live tonight, as I told you guys, away on vacation, but the content does not stop, as it turns out. Two things to get to today. One, I've got an interview with my good buddy Michael Katz. Did it on the radio show. Just talked North Carolina College World Series, stuff like that. Obviously, that is happening tomorrow night. So I will bring that to you as well. Great coverage and also just good dude with Michael Katz. So that's coming your way here in just a little bit. Also, I didn't know this was coming. I guess I was in vacation mode or whatever. Did not realize that we were going to get the kickoff windows, not exact times, although some times are exact, for the rest of the season. I didn't know that was coming, and it did, so we will go through the football schedule, and pretty good so far anyway. Some of the road games could get dicey in terms of kickoff time, but so far, so good in terms of the kickoff windows for Ole Miss. So we'll talk about that on this recorded, unfortunately not live, edition of the podcast. Of course, my name is Michael Borky. I'm so glad that you are here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Another massive month back in the month of May. I'm surprised at how good the numbers were, to be honest with you. So thank you for that. But keep going. If you have not subscribed yet, please do wherever you get your podcast. Of course, also right here on YouTube. Subscribe. Leave a like, comment, all that good stuff. I would really appreciate that. If you want your College World Series gear, that QR code right there, that QR code, get your phone out, scan that code. College Corner is where you need to go to get your Omaha College World Series gear. Just released a hat yesterday. I will tweet that link out the second I'm done recording this as well. So if you follow me on Twitter, you can get a College World Series hat as well from College Corner. This edition of the podcast is brought to you by Scruggs in Saltillo, Mississippi. They've got everything, home improvement for your yard, your garden, your hunting property, your land, whatever. If you have a project inside or outside of the home, you need to go to one place and one place only, and that is Scruggs. They also have great clothes, awesome boot selection. The fishing selection is awesome. The cheapest beer in town as well. But most importantly, 0% on all of these things from John Deere. 0% on zero-turn mowers, 36 months. 5-series tractors, 84 months. Compact tractors, 72 months. Commercial mowers, 36 months. And if you want a Gator, just 1.9% for 36 months. Go check them out at Scruggs in Saltillo, 3575 Tom Watson Drive, and tell them that it was me that sent you there. All right, football schedule. We got kickoff times, sort of got kickoff times for the Ole Miss football schedule. We already know Louisville on Sunday kicking off at 6:30 on ABC. I don't know if you guys knew this, by the way. There's another college football game that day. One other college football game. There's two college football games that day. The other one's also kicking off at 6:30. That's on Fox. It's Wisconsin and somebody. I should know that off the top of my head. I don't, but I do know that. What are they doing? The TV networks. Well, that Fox game needs to just, they need to move it earlier. What are you doing? Why are you drawing audience away from yourself? There's two games that day. One should start at 3 o'clock. The other one should start at 6:30. It just seems so simple. If you want to maximize ratings, but the problem is that they want to try to alpha each other. And so you're getting, so Ole Miss does not stand alone on Sunday, as it turns out, but that'll still be an awesome showcase. A lot of people are going to be paying attention to Pete Golding's game one, Trinidad Chambliss, Kewan Lacy. That's going to be a huge ratings number for that game in Nashville on Sunday. We already know this as well. Come back home for the home opener anyway, week two against Charlotte. That is 6:45 already locked in on either ESPN2 or the SEC Network. That kind of tells you about that weekend, if that's going to get the ESPN2 treatment tonight. Week three, you guys already knew this as well, LSU 6:30 ABC in Oxford. Now here come the new ones, and there's a lot of flex on this schedule. Flex, as you guys know, is either the afternoon or the night window, so it's either, you know, 2:30 to 3:30 or 5 to 7, so afternoon or night. And that game four, which is the most fascinating game, absent LSU, on Ole Miss's schedule to me is the Florida game because of where it lands on the schedule. As you guys have heard me say this before, I absolutely hate where this game falls on the schedule, considering what's happening the week before with LSU for Ole Miss. I don't like this spot on the schedule. It is what it is, and that is a flex game for Ole Miss. So either afternoon or night, you hope that game is a 2:30 kickoff. You don't want to play that game at night. Not that it really makes that much of a difference. I mean, truly, what is the difference between 2:30 and 6:30 in terms of atmosphere? Probably not that much, but yes, you would prefer the afternoon window for that game. Ole Miss is off in week five. Then they go to Vanderbilt. That is also a flex, 2:30 to or the afternoon or night window. I know a lot of you will be making the return trip to Nashville. They've done a really nice job with that stadium. What is it, Jared Curtis, I believe? Let me double check, actually, who the quarterback is. I believe it's Jared Curtis. The freshman, the five-star freshman starting quarterback for Vanderbilt. Yes, that is his name. Vanderbilt beat Georgia, as you guys know, for a five-star quarterback. So we don't know quite yet what Vanderbilt's going to be like. We do know, though, that they have done a really nice job with that stadium. They've worked really hard on it. It looks good. It's much improved. It still has not created an incredibly difficult environment. So it's more of a fun trip as opposed to an intimidating environment. October 17th, Missouri and Oxford, the return of Austin Simmons and Caden Lee. That's afternoon. So 2:30 to 3:30. You know that that'll be an afternoon game, or actually making some plans around here to possibly get the family to come to that one, thanks to an exact kickoff time. So, you know, at least it's not 11 a.m. For that one. Texas is another flex. These road games for Ole Miss, they're flexed. Afternoon or night at Texas, obviously, the takeaway is you don't want to play that game at night if you don't have to. The only time Ole Miss will play against Arch Manning, unless they meet again in the playoff. I still maintain and believe that the SEC, a massive swing and a miss to not have Arch Manning play a game in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. They really screwed that up. You could have manipulated the schedule. You are putting on a show, after all. And how great of a theater, how great theater would that be to have Arch Manning, a Manning, play a road game in Oxford? They should have done that. It makes no sense that Arch Manning's never going to play in Oxford. Really makes no sense. They had the opportunity with going to the 9-game conference schedule to alter that and to make that happen. And for whatever reason, they chose not to. And I think that's a mistake. That would have been a pretty all-timer. Halloween Day, October 31st, 11 a.m. for Auburn. That is locked in 11 a.m. I don't think Auburn's going to be particularly good, but as I've told you guys before, there are a lot of fan bases out there that don't attend the early games well. For whatever reason, you guys have. You've had early kickoffs over the last few years, and you have filled up the stadium and created pretty incredible environments for the sun to still be rising, especially in late October when the game is kicking off. I think that should be against the rules, by the way. There should be a rule that you lock in and say, this is not allowed. You cannot and are not allowed to have a game that kicks off when the sun is still rising. The sun needs to at least be done rising and on its way down if the game is going to get kicked off. Nobody listens to me, so that is not a rule, but that would be mine. But Halloween Day, Auburn and Oxford, 11 a.m. Week later, Georgia, that is a flex. So the earliest that game can kick off is 2:30, but that is the afternoon and night. I think Ole Miss is owed a night game against Georgia. Hope to see that happen. The game in Norman, November 14th, that is locked in. That is locked in afternoon. So that game will not kick off at night. It will not, unfortunately, kick off in the morning, which would be ideal. But that game in Norman is an afternoon time slot. I know a lot of people that made that trip and enjoyed themselves. It may not be like the most fun road trip ever that you'll ever take in your life in the SEC. But apparently, at least the people that I've talked to really enjoyed the trip, liked Norman, liked the people at Oklahoma there, and are going to make the return trip, that they enjoyed themselves so much. And I mean, all the Oklahoma media people that I've met are also seemingly really down to earth. And so if they're reflective of the fan base that they interact with every day, then that makes sense. So I would love to make that trip. I'm trying to make that trip this year. I want to see it for myself because I have heard good things. But more importantly, that game is not kicking off at night for Ole Miss. And then to end the season, Wofford, November 21st. They're going ahead and kicking that game off at 11 a.m. That is the streaming game. I think quite simply, I mean, if you're going to go to the Wofford game, you're going to go to the Wofford game regardless of the kickoff time. And go ahead and get your team out of there as fast as possible because you do have the short week with the Egg Bowl on Black Friday, also at 11 a.m. So I don't like when you have the option kicking off games at 11 a.m. because I don't think it best serves your fans. But in this case, again, the Wofford game in November, you if you're going to the game, are going regardless, generally speaking. And so get the team out of there before the short week in the Egg Bowl. That's fine. Wofford, by the way, beautiful campus, tiny, tiny, tiny little campus, like right up the road from where I sit right now. So, and then, of course, the Egg Bowl, Black Friday. You already knew that, 11 a.m. So, you know, by and large, the flex games are the issue, right? You could play night in Gainesville, night in Austin. That's not ideal, obviously, because those are two pretty big, pretty incredible environments, or they certainly can be anyway. So that's not ideal. You hope those get kicked off in the afternoon to help a little bit. But the home schedule, I mean, Charlotte's at night. LSU is at night. Missouri's not at 11 a.m. Georgia is not at 11 a.m. That's, you know, afternoon or night. Three home games kicking off at 11 a.m. One of them, though, is Wofford, and then one of them is special Black Friday Egg Bowl. So I know we hate morning kickoffs. I know we do. You guys would rather get to tailgate in the Grove all day, but I would much rather, if you were setting the schedule up for me, I would much rather have LSU and Georgia in the afternoon / night as opposed to 11 a.m. So you avoided that. Missouri's not at 11 a.m. I think it's fine. And then, of course, Black Friday, the special day. So not that bad. Not that bad at all. Really exciting season upcoming for Ole Miss, as you know. We'll talk about that a lot, as you can imagine, this offseason. Also, plans have been made for SEC Media Days. We are locked into all 4 days. I mean, we go every year, obviously, but this year, being in Tampa, it kind of changed the calculus a little bit in terms of, are we going to go all 4 days? Yes, we are. Hey, Dad and I will be there all 4 days. You guys will get content on this feed. You will hear, we'll get one-on-one with Pete Golding and the three players. I mean, we do every year, so hopefully this year. We'll get those, and those will be uploaded on this feed also for you. My goal is to talk to somebody that covers every team on Ole Miss's schedule for the radio show, but of course I will bring that here on this feed as well. So we are locked in on that for SEC Media Days. We got the flights and all that booked yesterday, I believe. So we're in, and that'll be towards the end of next month, about 6 weeks away, I think. So looking forward to that, but I'm really excited for you guys to get to hear all of the work that we're going to do there from Tampa this year. I don't know why. I don't like it, to be honest with you. I think I've told you guys this before. I have a theory that the SEC is slowly unraveling a plan to make Media Days a 4-TV-only event. They're going to move it to primetime. They're making it just more and more difficult every year for local media. It's more expensive. Tampa, for some reason, instead of the centralized location, Nashville, Birmingham, even Atlanta is easier. So I don't know. But we will be there, which is what matters most. And looking forward to bringing you guys all of that coverage starting next month. Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance. Auto, home, life, or insurance for your business. Logan Smith has got you covered. Auto, home, life, or business insurance, go by, see Logan at Shelter Insurance, or just give him a call at 601-823-3500, 601-823-3500. Even if you have insurance, what's a phone call going to hurt? It's not. Give him a call. It's worth your time. You'll get a great quote. You know you're going to get great services. He's literally won awards for insurance services. I didn't know that was a thing because the insurance that I've used in the past, they don't have those. But he does. So give him a call and tell him that it was me that sent you. Also, Priority One Bank, 16 locations in Mississippi. There's one very close to me. It's my bank. I bank at Priority One Bank. You can too. Local loan servicing, decision making, online banking platform that's easy to use, not confusing, not glitchy or buggy like my old bank was. I always had problems with that. Not at Priority One Bank, because it's in the name. They make you their priority. And if you're a Mississippi business and you need office technology, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com is their website. Tell them that it was me that sent you. When you go anywhere in Mississippi, technology of any kind for your office, they've got you covered. All right. That's football. That's the schedule. Now, so this interview was done Tuesday, because that was my last day of work. So if they have announced pitching plans by the time that you have listened to this, then just know that this interview was a couple days ago. We didn't know at the time what they were going to do. So that might, you know, impact things for you a little bit. But good stuff. Good guy. Baseball preview. Ole Miss, of course, tomorrow night against North Carolina in Omaha. That conversation coming your way right now. Here's Michael Katz of the Daily Journal. When that conversation ends, the podcast will end. Thank you guys for tuning in. And I will talk to you Saturday morning to talk about what happens on Friday night in Omaha. I'll see you then. Here's Michael Katz. Go and a couple of players. What did you hear today from them?
I think the biggest thing, I mean, the players we talked to, it was Tristan Bassetta, Hayden Federico, and JP Robertson. I think the thing hearing from Hayden Federico was he will be the first to admit he got a bad read on that ball that he ended up snow coning and making one of the catches, one of the great catches probably in Ole Miss history, given the context of it. But, you know, I think one of the big things, and Mike brought this up, they did the same thing in 2022 when they went. It wasn't just like they weren't happy just to be there. Like, they want to win this whole thing, and they think they can win this whole thing. And that was the mindset in 2022, and it seems the same way now. You know, obviously it's great to make it to the College World Series, and, you know, I guess you can say this was, I don't know if you'd say unlikely. I mean, this was a really good Ole Miss team all year. But maybe not one of the favorites going in to make the field. But this isn't a team that feels like that thinks it's a Cinderella story or an underdog or something. I mean, they're out there to win this thing. So I think that was one of the big messages that, yeah, obviously you enjoy the stuff that comes with the College World Series and the pageantry. And, yeah, you can soak up some moments, but you're not just there to play a couple games. You're there to make it to the last series and, you know, be the last one standing. So I thought that was, you know, you never really know. You know, teams can say the right thing of, like, of course we're trying to win a national championship, but I don't necessarily think that's always the case. But it was pretty clear from today that they are not just happy to be in the field.
Yeah, the 2014 team, that was before your time, of course, but that kind of felt like, I mean, they won a couple games there, but it was just a happy-to-be-there moment. You know, it's just, hey, they finally get the monkey off their back there in Omaha. That's great. 2022, obviously, they win the championship. I think that while getting to Omaha is the goal, they put it on the walls of the facilities at every program in the country. You're exactly right, though. I think that especially with the draw that they got on the side of their bracket, they have a real shot here to turn this into another championship appearance. And you know, just being happy to be there doesn't make sense in the context of course, what you just said, but also North Carolina really good, but this side versus the other side of the bracket, they're very different.
100%. I mean, and again, don't like you said, North Carolina is extremely good. You know, I'm a USC grad, so I was crashing out a little bit a couple
oh,
days.
No.
We almost had the Michael Katz Bowl that I've been waiting for. We were supposed to have them in football between Lane and Lincoln Riley, but they canceled those games. So I was finally going to get it in baseball, and then I had my heart ripped out. But that's neither here nor there, other than just me being a USC fan. But, you know, it's North Carolina's really good. You know, obviously Georgia Tech was the talk of the ACC for the most part this year, and for good reason. They put up some insane numbers. North Carolina's really, really good. They have really, really good pitching. That's one of the top pitching staffs in college baseball, starters and relievers. But I mean, you do look at the rest of their side of the bracket, and again, it's not to take anything away from what Troy and West Virginia have done, but they're not Texas, Georgia, and Alabama on the other side. So I agree with you. I think there's a real opportunity here, not just because of the draw, but they are doing everything that you need to do this time of year to win big, and that's getting reliable pitching from your starters. It's having a bullpen you can depend on. It's playing solid defense, which has not always been the case for Ole Miss this year. It has been a little bit up and down, but they have been very, very solid in the field these last few weeks. And they're getting the timely hit, which, again, was not something that was always the case this year. They are doing everything that you need this time of year, and I really think they're a threat.
North Carolina, interesting team. So their ace during the regular season is a guy that they did not pitch in game one of the regional, and therefore they didn't pitch him in game one of the super regional, and that's Jason DeCaro. His numbers are unbelievable, especially having gone a complete game in game two of the super. I don't think he's going to go on Friday, do you? That the North Carolina kind of messed themselves up a little bit by going off, and now they might still have to continue to go off, even though he's their best arrow.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. And again, it really makes you look at matchup-wise and timing. Ole Miss has got to feel pretty good about where they're at pitching-wise. You haven't even seen Kane Townsend in like 2 weeks. And he's the guy who's going to be a first-round pick, for like almost for sure. So, yeah, it's, you know, there's obviously a lot of gamesmanship going right now. Mike Bianco declined to say who is going to be the starter for Friday's game, though.
I have a guess.
I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I would be surprised to not see number 26 out there, just because, you know, he's done this before. It's not always pretty, but man, he gets you through games and usually end up winning them. So, it'll be interesting to see what North Carolina does. But they've got a good staff all around. They've got the ACC Freshman of the Year, who I think of like a 2.2 ERA, 25 appearances, 3 starts. I think he leads the team in strikeouts, largely out of the bullpen. So they've got a lot of really good options.
It's Braden Randall gets the start in the outfield. Different ballpark, no monster or whatever in left in this one, but it's a much bigger, more spacious outfield that he's dealing with. It was a great decision by Mike Bianco. I assume they're going to just ride this out. That bat's got to stay in the lineup, and he didn't look uncomfortable in the outfield.
Yeah, I mean, I think you let athletes be athletes and let them figure it out. I think he's been asked this question ad nauseum the last few days, but he last played in the game, I think he said 14 and under summer ball. But he's a really good athlete, and he's – I think this has been in the works a little bit longer than we probably think. I don't think he just started playing outfield. You know, he's been shagging balls and getting some reps in and whatnot. But he has been great this postseason. And you need him and Colin Reuter both in your lineup because Reuter's been pretty good too.
Had a big home run this past weekend.
Yeah, he's had some huge swings for you. And to have a power potential like that hitting ninth in your lineup is really big. Can really flip a game. So, you look at the other options for left field, and let's be honest, it hasn't been good this year. You know, Daniel Pacella was their big prize transfer portal addition, and it hasn't probably gone the way he would have wanted it. Topher Jones has struggled at times, and I think you need the combination of you need somebody who's going to put good at bats together and somebody who can get the job done in left. And I think Braden Randall is proving to be that guy. And it kind of reminds me of in 22 when they threw Calvin Harris out in the outfield because you needed his bat in the lineup. Like this, I don't know. I know that Mike Bianco has gotten a lot of stuff over his 2+ decades, but he's pressing the right buttons again right now for sure. And he's willing to maybe do the unconventional thing when it matters, and more often than not ends up working.
In about 60 seconds, you've covered a lot of Ole Miss teams. You know the history of Ole Miss baseball very well. A lot of really good, really talented, better regular season teams than this one didn't make it to this point. Why did this one?
The pitching came together at the right time. The Taylor Raves ascension reminds me so much of what Dylan DeLucia did. Obviously, different style pitcher. But the way that they seized control of the season the last month or two, it's huge. And then, obviously, Hunter Elliott's still here. And he was a big part of that 22 team as well. Kate Townsend is fantastic. I think that pitching staff is just – you can't tell me there's a better one. I know North Carolina's numbers are probably better. I don't know if it gets much better than the combination of Rabe, Elliott, and Kate Townsend. And, you know, timely hitting from the veterans I think has been huge too. There's a lot of – you know, obviously the roads for the teams were different, but I do see some similarities in the makeup of the 22 team in this one.
Michael Katz of the Daily Journal, read his work there. He's going to be covering the College World Series better than anybody out there. Michael, thank you so much for your time, man.
Appreciate you.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.